Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to NBC Sports' Bet the Edge. Thanks for everyone watching on our YouTube channel or listening in podcast form. It's Thursday, so it's B-Money and the Whale Capper, and a lot has happened in the NBA, Drew, including a Zion Williamson injury that did hurt my Pelicans' money line bet, but gives me an opportune angle here and everyone else at the next games. We got a lot to cover with the NBA playoffs. How has the play-in treated you thus far, and surprised to see Zion missing the following game?
Oh, man. Well, playoffs so far treating me very well. Rocking chair under last night, which I much appreciated. And the Lakers coming through was huge for me in a couple ways. I have a 6-1 bet on the Pelicans to miss the playoffs. That is very live now. Yeah. And that would actually help really help walk back some of the damage that April has already done to me. So very much hoping that something somehow, some way, the Kings can win. Are you wearing a throwback Kings jersey?
Oh, no, man. We're wearing a Bulls jersey.
Oh, Bulls. Okay. Bulls.
Chicago for the play-in. Yeah.
Got it. Those are the throwback Kings colors, too. So I was a little thrown off there. I was like, oh, you're a Kings guy now. Okay. No, Bulls. Bulls make sense. And honestly, we'll know the result of Bulls Hawks, but I like the position they're in tonight.
Yeah. I will not be betting that game just because being a Bulls fan, I would like not to lose my money either way on my favorite team. But I would say I am a fan of Keegan Murray for the Kings. He had an excellent game the other night, 32 points. Certainly interested to see now the Kings and Pelicans. We'll start there, Drew, because this line moved a little bit. So before the news, you saw the Pelicans were a 1.5-point favorite at some places. Now the Kings are a 1.5-point favorite. The money line's out to -120 at most shops. Most money is coming on the Kings. I mean, it seems like the right side. Am I right?
Well, I mean, if you watched much of that game, the first game, the fact that the Pelicans were closing with Dyson Daniels at times, who got absolutely abused. No Ingram. No CJ on the defensive side, which is a good decision, but still made for some difficult transition. No transition opportunity, basically. And the key kind of play of the game, I thought, was Dyson Daniels' defensive brain fart, where he kind of let D'Angelo Russell slip out to the corner for a wide open corner three that put the game away for the Lakers. Just the fact that he was on the floor and the fact that you know, you have so many other dynamic wing defenders, well, you know, it didn't really make sense to me. The rotations didn't really make sense to me. And it kind of screams that the Pelicans just aren't right. Like, Brandon Ingram, I don't think was benched for effectiveness. I just think he just probably is not right. He just hasn't had enough game reps. He's a rhythm player. Like, he plays his best. He's his most effective offensive weapon when he's in rhythm, and he's well out of rhythm. And now he's going to have to presumably step in and put on a cape and make up for the offensive deficiencies that the Pelicans have without Zion. Because, you know, we can kind of get into the Zion of it all in a minute here, but he was pretty solid offensively for them last night outside of the missed free throws. And I think, it's weird because you saw the duality of him as a player as far as a franchise piece. Like, he could do that. Oh my gosh. But he will not be available for you in the playoffs regularly. And the fact that he couldn't get through one play-in game, let alone a kind of a lengthy playoff series, is a huge red flag. And I think, the Pelicans presumably slinking out of this playoff picture in a little bit of a, you know, I guess I would say a massive disappointment considering where they were 1 month ago, is going to have that franchise asking some sincere questions about their future for what, the third offseason in a row. We're going to be like, wow, what do we do here? And I definitely don't have the answers. They have such a mishmash of pieces, and some guys like Trey Murphy, who clearly like, what a perfect complimentary piece. Herb Jones, what a perfect complimentary piece. Like, you have some really nice things, and just a, you know, for regular season, just so much talent. Like, you could win in so many ways, but for this particular game, I think I'm into the under here. And I know it's, you know, it's reduced relative to what we saw in both of these games in the first play in, but with the potential for the Kings kind of struggling to get their offense going, I think this is a decent opportunity for for the Kings to get a win and to do it without really having to flex too hard offensively. So I'm going to play the under again and see if this kind of highlight Pelicans 6-1 to miss the playoffs gets home, and then we can take it from there.
I think he will get home. I mean, the Pelicans also swept the Kings season series 5-0 this year. So a lot of people will think, you know, they'll get the type of success again, but it's not usually how it is in the playoffs, Drew. You know, when you get to see a team for the first time in the playoffs, you throw everything you have at that team. And I think the Kings were impressive. I mean, I know the Warriors, and we talked about them, that dynasty is over. That's sail has set a long time ago. And Klay Thompson's 0 points definitely was a nail in the coffin there for the Warriors dynasty. But the Pelicans, you mentioned, they're going to reconstruct themselves again this offseason. Too many questions. I think this is a Kings spot here. So I like the Kings to win this game outright. And I would only make one argument of point to what you said, because I think the turning point in the Pelicans' loss was when Jose Alvarado continued to talk smack to D'Lo and then decided to pass the ball out for a three instead of go for a layup on Austin Reeves when the game was tied up with 2 minutes left and D'Lo got the steal. Lakers went down and scored. Just too many bad decisions from the Pelicans late in that game without Zion, but his usage was insane. So his 40 points and injury, not surprised to see the injury on the night he scores 40 points. My guy was going bananas out there. But the Lakers got the win, Drew. So now they get to face the Nuggets. I already locked in Nuggets -1.5 in the series. I feel like that is the best play here. I think Nuggets 4-1 at +240 is in play as well. So what do you make of this series in a game one in particular? Nuggets are laying around a 6-7 number.
I'm not there.
It's a big number.
I'm not close, honestly, and I need to rationalize my feelings about that. But my flat-out, kind of player-level model, and I guess we could talk a little bit about how you come up with a number for the NBA as it's just a sidebar real quick for the playoffs. Like, it is almost certainly you have to kind of divorce team performance from the regular season with player performance from the regular season, and then incorporate what a playoff rotation is going to look like for these teams to come up with a fare for a given game. The first part of that is, the taking guys like Anthony Davis and LeBron James and making sure you're expecting 40 minutes out of them. The D'Angelo Russells of the world, he have 37 last night or thereabouts, like, his minutes have to go up. Right. And so getting a good guess at who the playoff rotation is going to be and exactly what their distribution is pretty important. And it's going to change from game to game, surely, as guys perform well or poorly. Like, the fact that Gabe Vincent was, a huge piece of the puzzle for them last night and Spencer Dinwiddie was not, was probably related to just how they were playing. I think, kind of as you kind of reshuffle, how do you rate the Lakers as a team with their starters fully healthy and kind of playoff rotation minutes? And for me, I have them as a pretty dang good team. I have them as almost one standard deviation over an average team, in terms of regular season ratings. I have them as extremely good offensively and just a little bit better than average defensively as currently rostered. And I think what's interesting about that is that compared to last year when these two teams met in the Western Conference Finals, the Lakers were getting it done with defense, and the offense had some moments, particularly when the bench unit, bench mob was out there, that they were just lost. And there were glimmers of that last night against the Pelicans, where you saw, man, get LeBron the heck back out there, because this crew cannot create offense and it is struggling mightily. And oh, here come the Pelicans. They close that gap. Ultimately, I think, you know, the offense is, you know, kind of light years better than the team we saw take on the Nuggets last year. And I think, you know, Jay and I kind of had a good old long laugh as people kind of were reflecting on the Western Conference Finals last year, where they were like, oh, the most competitive sweep ever. It's like, oh, the Lakers are right there. Like, oh, the ball bounces a little differently in those first couple of games. Maybe the Lakers win. And we're like, get out of here. Like, no way. Like, that was a lopsided series. They didn't really have that much of a chance. And ultimately, that was because the, you know, Nuggets were peaking at the right time, and they had had very light testing to that point in the playoffs. And so I think the Nuggets finding finding some form on the fly here is going to be a little bit challenging, because they haven't been playing their best basketball of late. They had one good quarter against the Minnesota Timberwolves that was like, okay, these guys can flip the switch. It may take them a little while in the series to fully find their form there. So I'm looking at this one as fair price for game one to be Nuggets minus 4.5. I think the fair total is about 230. So I'm kind of inclined here to get involved with the Lakers in game one. And I'm going to play the spread. I don't know if they ultimately can win. I only give them about a 37% chance to win. Game two, I have almost the same expected price. There will be some adjustments. There will be some, obviously some, there are more things that the Lakers can do with their current roster than they could do last year. So there could be opportunities for them to get, take one in Denver. And then when they come back to LA, I basically have these games as 50-50 splits. So coin flip game three, coin flip game four. If you're kind of playing into the series games market, you're hoping that, you know, chalk prevails game one and game two, and you win one of those two coin flips, and then you probably win in this thing in five. But I'm expecting a more competitive, like an actually competitive series this year relative to the Western Conference Finals last year, which I didn't think was especially competitive. And I think a ton of that comes into the play that this is just a little bit different Lakers team, and the Nuggets are going to have to eventually, they will, but I think they're going to have to be, they're going to be forced to try to figure out the Lakers all over again in their current form.
Yeah, that's, if you were forcing me to play the Lakers in game one or game two, I'd be taking the Lakers in game one with you, Drew. Not the most confident play, but I think that's the best opportunity for the Lakers to get out and get a victory. They were swept by the Nuggets this year. And as you mentioned, they do look different offensively. Now, they do struggle at times, but Austin Reaves was having his coming out party last year. He's really coming to his own from deep in D'Lo. He didn't get traded because his stock became too high because he was playing so well the second half of the season. So those two guys in particular definitely, I think, could make the Nuggets worry a little bit here, keep the Lakers close. But I do think the series, and if we can get the graphic up showing the series correct score, because I wanted to ask you this question, because when they show five games being the most probable outcome at plus 195, they also have the Lakers series prices at winning the most likely 4-2 in this series. And for the Nuggets, it's 4-3. Or 4-1, excuse me, at plus 240. If you were going to take the Lakers to win this series, do you think they win this game in six or seven games?
I think it would be six. Yeah.
And is that how you would play it, right?
As opposed to just taking the Lakers series price? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, it's a plus 750 is a hair of value for me. And I kind of, you kind of, you're setting me up here, but games 3, 4, and 6 are coin flips. Those Lakers win those. They you know, they defend home court. If they find the adjustments, you could even say that they're better than coin flips by the time we get to game six. So if they're holding home court and they win those three games, then you only have to win one of three in Denver. Like that's kind of how they did it last year against the Grizzlies, if you remember correctly. They came out in game one, in round one. They went to Memphis. They took advantage of end of game efficiency. They get a win, and then they basically just completely, pulled the ejection cord in game two and didn't really compete. And then they hold home court. They pull the ejection cord in game five, and then in game six they basically put them away without really much of a sweat. And I think ultimately, if you're coming up with the blueprint, if you're the Lakers, I don't think you are. You know, these are older. LeBron is an old man. Like, I'm an old man. I could say this. LeBron doesn't need to be kind of firing all of his bullets in back-to-back games in altitude. Like, just get one. You don't need to go balls to the wall in game four and then turn around in game five and do it again. Like, save it up for game six. Like, he is definitely the kind of guy that I would expect that is going to kind of, you know, kind of met out his effort over the balance of the season, a series, in order to come away with ultimately, if they win, that would be sort of the way to do it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I'll say, too, in addition to LeBron James, I take a look at his assist props if you are interested in him in Denver, because he has been destroying that category. 9 or more assists in 4 of his last 5 games, including a triple-double in a few of those as well. So LeBron James may be an old man, Drew, but he continues to get it done night in and night out. It's purely amazing. What's also amazing is, can Nelly Korda continue her hot start and fend off the LPGA's finest at the Chevron Championship? You can tune in from Thursday to Sunday this week for the first major of the season, only on NBC and Peacock.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury.
I'm gonna shine my way.
The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
And we're going to talk about some of our favorite first-round bets, Drew. And let's start with Dallas and the Clippers series. I love the over 5.5 games in this series. I think we could see a 6 or 7-game series between these two teams. I think Luka and the Mavericks have been one of the best teams in the league since the second half of the season, 18-9 since the break. Clippers, we were hot on them earlier in the year, my friend. 15-4, though. 15-14 in their last 29 games. Not looking like the Clippers we expected to see this time of year. So I do think the Mavericks can win this series, but I think the winner of this series is a 4-2 or 4-3, no matter who comes out on top. What say you?
I'm going to respectfully disagree.
Let's but, go. All right.
But it's mostly just because my degree of confidence in the Clippers winning 2 games is very low, man. I'm really nervous about
that
these
bad
guys
now?
I don't know. Ooh. What's going on with Kawhi's knee, man. All of, like, I guess I've just lived through too many Clippers Kawhi experiences where it's just like, yeah, Kawhi's not feeling great. Oh, actually, it turns out he's done for the season. It's like, I'm kind of just waiting for that Woj bomb. Like, this could go, there's like a little asymmetry where this could get real weird. And all of a sudden, like, if you're hoping, if you need 2 wins out of, you know, Paul George and James Harden, who are classic guys who really show up in the playoffs, you know, I think that's where you get a little nervous. You know, I don't really disagree with the current market price here. If anything, maybe it's gone a little too far in the direction of the Mavericks. But I think that's speculation about Kawhi. And so I guess you need playoff Pete to keep, you know, to play defense in home court, I think, in game one, which where I'm right now, I think Kawhi is probably, I think it's fair to consider maybe like less than 30% chance to play. Ultimately, I think the Clippers may be a little softer out than a lot of people expect. Myself included from a month ago.
Yeah, well, Hopefully they can get two wins, Drew. I think Kawhi Leonard, hopefully we'll see. He's Ty Lue said he's only going to do a quarter of the practice so far leading up the next few days. So that's not a great sign. James Harden also sat out three of the last four games of the regular season with inflammation in his right foot. So things aren't looking great for the Clippers right now, and Kawhi hasn't played since the 31st of March, getting ready for the Olympics. So we'll see who wins. I got the over 5.5 for Terrible Juice, -190, and Drew will take the under for plus money. We will see who wins next or 2 weeks from now. But how about the Eastern Conference? I think you'll agree with me here because not only, Drew, did I cash my 40-1 and 36-1 and 28-1 parlays because the Orlando Magic beat the Bucks on Sunday, and then the Hornets beat the Cavs because the Cavs tanked so they could play the Magic in this playoff series. Absolutely love the thought process here. I think the Cavs are the rightful side in this series. I took them to win game one and the series at -110 and also to win the series at -190, very juicy price. Do you agree or disagree with this one?
Strong agree. I think this one's I mean, yeah. My feelings with the Magic are complicated. Like, I'm very grateful for them for ultimately
not, season team.
Yeah, thank you for all you did. This. You owe the Spurs a hat tip as well, right? Like, you needed them to beat the Nuggets in order to get that thing home.
Like 2 nights before that, I was Friday.
That was a wild one. I think Cavs getting this thing done in short order is realistic. And I think that it all comes down to Donovan Mitchell. I mean, he's the best player in this series, and I think it's by margin. And I don't really – and I give full credit to the Magic for having an outstanding defense. And Suggs, if he can find kind of his best defensive performances of his entire career in this series and keep Mitchell somehow in check, then Magic may be live. But I'm not going to disagree with you that the Cavs find their way through this one pretty straightforwardly.
Yeah, I think last year, too, losing in the first round was also an incentive for them to get out of the first round, something they haven't did since LeBron James was on the team in 2017-18.
I mean, that's like their whole defense for tanking, right? It's like all we care about is winning this series. Like, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, if you end up, you know, in the second round, they could be a competitive team for sure. They have, you know, 3-4 very talented guys, some good bench pieces that they added this year, some shooting. But I just don't see Cleveland going very far in the postseason. But I do think they have everything possible to beat the Magic here. I've been like Cleveland -1.5.
I do have to give you credit for finding this little fun wrinkle of win game one, win the series, right? Like, yeah. It's correlated, right? And presumably they take a bite out of it. But I love stuff like that. Like when you have like an international soccer match and you're like, man, this team is they're so much better. I'm very confident they win. I don't feel like laying -300, but then you play the first half full game as opposed to just kind of laying the money line. And I particularly enjoy those types of wagers as a player, even if they aren't always like obvious AV.
Yeah, no, I think it was probably one of the better angles, ways of attacking it. Not to say I wouldn't play Cleveland -4.5 in the first game. Most of those games have had a bigger margin of victories than four. I think they've been seven or more in all their meetings this season. So don't hate that either. But, we do want to give a shout-out to the Spurs and Victor Wembanyama for that Friday night win. Oh, my Lord. Paid off some credit card debt from 2 years ago, Drew. Still got bankroll and leftover money. And I paid rent early. Thank you, Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs. All right. The countdown is on. Wednesday was the 100-day mark to the Summer Olympics in Paris. Tune in this summer on NBC and Peacock to see the greatest athletes in the world go for the gold in the City of Light.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again! Gold for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen
an Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. I'm gonna shine my way. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
I will be excited to watch that. I actually did a dog watch, got some dog therapy before the show today, Drew. And the woman asked me, will you be getting sent to Paris to cover the Olympics for NBC? And I laughed. Said, I don't even know what I would do in a foreign country for that long. But it would certainly be exciting. Let's talk about Eastern and Western Conference Finals MVP, because certainly the Celtics and Nuggets, two stars, Tatum and Jokic, are the favorite. Rightfully so. The value is not on them, though. Where are you looking in Eastern Conference? Is there value down the board outside of Tatum or Jaylen Brown or Giannis?
I mean, right now, in order to lay the Celtics to win the East, you're at what, minus 165, minus 170? It's a big old number.
I think, got it at minus 125.
And honestly, like I particularly think that Tatum is a bigger slice of the pie for the Celtics than the market does. And I think ultimately, like, there are the Celtics winning a title. It's going to be tough because whoever comes out of the West is going to be formidable. Certainly the toughest matchup for the Celtics on the path to a championship is going to be the finals. And so I kind of do like kind of keying on this market for the Celtics a bit. And in fact, futures portfolio doesn't have any Celtics title at all. It only has Celtics East because of this kind of concept. Yeah. And it's not to say that they will choke in the finals. They have home court and they have like a super team. Ultimately, on paper, the Celtics are a super team. Like when you ratchet these numbers up in terms of minutes played for their starters, like my goodness gracious, I don't know that I've ever rated an offense better ever. Like this is as good as it gets. And so I think ultimately, if you're keen on Tatum, who's going to be pretty clearly the beneficiary of such a diverse and awesome offense, and in particular the Eastern Conference Finals, which would be against the likes of presumably the Bucks by the market or the Sixers, I think either one of those matchups is pretty favorable for Tatum specifically. And so in particular the Bucks, because their point of attack is such a big question mark. So I feel like it's a decent proxy bet. You are opening yourself up to a little bit of heartbreak if somebody goes nuclear on the Celtics, not named Tatum, but it's such a they share so effectively that it's very tough for me to see him not being the top compiler of statistical counting stats, basically. And I think for those reasons, he's probably the easy answer here. And I'm not even at the place where I can entertain a team besides the Celtics winning the East right now, which is kind of crazy. Yeah. And my fare is like in the minus 205 range for full transparency.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have been trying to figure out what other ways I could play someone else hedge out possibly on the Celtics, because I have a 3-unit bet on them. And I just feel like them winning the East has been the most solid thing you could probably look forward to down the road. But winning the NBA title, I'm not there yet either with the Celtics. But I will say, going down the list of these teams, obviously Jaylen Brown, I guess at 5-1 would be the only other guy that you could place a bet on. But Giannis would be the clear pick for the Bucks if they made it, Embiid for the Sixers. You would say Mitchell for the Cavs too, and Brunson for the Knicks, and I guess Paolo Banchero for the Magic and Haliburton for the Pacers, if you were feeling devilish. But those are the correct picks, right? There's no one else past those guys for their teams, just to cover briefly.
I honestly would even throw some of those guys out.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm saying if you think for some reason, hey, the Pacers could make an Eastern Conference Finals, should I grab some Haliburton at 66-1 right now?
So basically there are three bets to be made in this Eastern Conference market that are better bets than Eastern Conference champ, in my opinion. Haliburton is one of them. 66-1 is better than their current fare to win the East. Donovan Mitchell is the second one. 22-1 is better than the Cleveland Cavaliers fare to win the East. And both of those plays, Haliburton and Donovan Mitchell, those guys are close to 100% for me. for those teams winning, because they are so huge in, from a usage standpoint, and so clearly the best offensive pieces on those two teams, that if you wanted to get some exposure to someone else besides the Celtics winning the East, that's a fun way to do it. To a lesser extent, I'm there on Brunson. It is very tough for me to see. Somebody else is going to have to beat the Celtics. And if that happens, all of a sudden the Knicks are, you're like, whoa, wait, oh my gosh, this might happen. The Knicks might win the East. If we're in that world, Brunson at 14-1 is intriguing, because my fear for the Knicks is it's like in the 12-1 ballpark. So, I'm not going to play them, but I could actually absolutely see there's a case.
Yeah, 2024, the year the Knicks are the 2 seed, the Thunder are the 1 seed. What a world we live in, Drew. But yeah, I agree with you completely with a lot of the segments here for those top players, and the percentage that they likely are 99% or better for their teams. And to cover up the Western Conference before we bring out our best bets briefly, I always said the Joker, the favorite at +160, SGA and Doncic are close behind before we start seeing the Kawhis, the Ant Edwards, the KDs of the world. Same segment here where Jokic is that much far above everyone else, and then we're just looking at the SGAs, the Lukas, and the KDs as the best options for their teams.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, Jokic is about 100%, but not quite, and that makes sense when you compare +160 to the fair for the or at least the market price for the Nuggets. I will be fully transparent as we enter this playoffs. I think the Nuggets are
say it,
overrated by market. This is just like +132, considering the path that they have to go on. Like, on it, look at the price for the Lakers series right now. Roll that over 3 times, you're going to do better than +132. I'm just saying, like, the market futures price for the Nuggets is insane to me right now. They're not going to get some easy path. Every single series for them is going to be tough. I think for those reasons, I'm inclined to look for other interesting ways to get involved here. My fair price on Mavericks is around 6-1. So a little bit of interest in Doncic at the 750 price point. My fair price on the Thunder, actually, what we should have talked about a little bit more carefully is, considering that the 8 seed is going to be the Pelicans or the Kings, like, didn't the Thunder appreciably win the play-in tournament effectively? Like, they are the big winners here. And yes, their second round opponent is going to be very, very tough, because it's either going to be a Clippers team with a healthy Kawhi, or it'll be Doncic and the Mavs. And both of those are really, really tough. But I think the Thunder match up well with both of those teams. Like, the teams that I was, if you're the Thunder, the teams you were spooked about playing are all on the other side of the draw. So the Thunder getting to the Western Conference Finals all of a sudden now doesn't feel too insane at all. Their fair price is also in the 6-1 range for me. So kind of intrigued at SGA at 7-1, because he is such a huge part of their offense. And that's about where the list ends for me, because I don't think realistically the Suns or the T-Wolves is getting there. I don't think realistically anyone in sort of the Lakers or any of these outsiders have much of a chance.
Yeah, I agree with you. Two of the three guys that I would name, you already did, in Luka and SGA. I feel like those two are clear guys that you should probably be putting some money on. And I was hoping you would speak on the KD and Booker debacle a little bit, because I feel like the Suns and Mavericks are the two teams that potentially could make the run to win the Western Conference if the Thunder or Nuggets do not. And I feel like if it looks like the Suns are going to beat the Mavs, I would be taking a stab on Devin Booker there. But Booker to Durant, do you have an opinion on the other two?
Feel like the Suns have gotten somewhat fortunate with their matchup against the Timberwolves, and then everyone else they might have to play is pretty clearly better than them.
I think ultimately, so
what I'm getting at, I guess, is the market's hot on the Suns as it is. They are giving them a lot of credit for a team that has huge structural flaws. That said, I think I'm just gonna hold my breath. I don't have really much skin in this Timberwolves Suns series at all, just because the price just didn't really get me going either way. And I'm kind of hopeful, like, if they blow doors and like their offense is hand in glove with the weaknesses of the Timberwolves defense, and people are like, get really excited about the Suns after this particular round of basketball, then I'm hoping we can capitalize on that by betting against them. And I'm not really interested in either of the two stars, particularly because who the heck knows how that equity is ultimately going to get split.
Yeah, I should probably take your advice and try and fade the Suns when I get the chance, that they've stole so much money from me in past years in playoffs. But no more DeAndre Ayton. That's why I like him more this year. But before we get out of here, Drew, what is your best bet for the people?
Yeah, Chris Paul. Chris Paul also no longer part of the equation. So, you don't have to deal with curses or guys who just don't show up for you. For me, this is a tough one because ultimately so many of these prices are pretty good shape. But of the everything we talked about here on the show, I'm kind of inclined to get involved with Lakers. Game one, +6.5. I think that is 2 points too many.
All right. Hey, we shall see. I'm going to roll with the Cavaliers to win game one in this series as my best bet. I like the Cavs a lot in that matchup. So we're going to continue to keep that train rolling. And we'll see you next year, Orlando Magic. Don't forget to check out NBCSports.com to help you guys with all your info and your wagers. Don't forget to check out Drew and Jay on Friday's episode of Bet the Edge as well. Thank you, Dan and Adam, behind the scenes, always holding us down. And thank you for everyone watching and listening. We will see you next time. Enjoy the NBA playoffs.